Morning, welcome to Amazing Grace Community Church. This morning's message is about the signs of the end of the age, or the lesson of the fig tree. If you'll grab your Bible and turn to Mark 13, we'll begin reading in verse 28. Mark 13, verse 28. Jesus says, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree, when its branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves. You know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." That last verse is kind of intriguing. Jesus is speaking this to the apostles, and he doesn't even know when this will come, the day or the hour. That's kind of fascinating. But Jesus is giving us the lesson of the fig tree. And it is instructing us and the apostles back then on how to be aware of when the rapture is going to come. The return of Jesus, the return where he returns to the earth and puts his feet down on the earth and begins that thousand-year kingdom reign, will be no secret. That's a known event because it starts 7 years after the Antichrist takes control. So that everybody will know that's coming and when it's coming. But what we're talking about here is the rapture, when Jesus gathers up his bride, the church, and takes them to heaven. So the lesson of the fig tree is simply using a real-world experience that the apostles would have, and that is, you know, growing fig trees and, you know, picking figs and eating them. So Jesus is saying, you know, when you see the fig tree getting ripe, that pretty soon these figs are going to be coming, and you'll be harvesting. But you don't know the exact date that fig is going to be ready. You just know it's getting close. That fig is getting bigger. It's getting riper. Pretty soon I'll be able to pick it. But you don't know exactly when that's going to be. And the same thing with this spiritual teaching that Jesus is giving us is, as the end of the age that we're living in, the last days, winds up before the rapture happens, before the tribulation happens, we're going to see signs. There'll be general signs. They're not going to be specific with a date or an hour. They will be signs saying that something is coming, but not occurring yet. So once the tribulation starts, we don't need signs because it's already happening. So the signs are simply to point out that something is going to happen. It's coming, but it's not here yet. Back up with me to the beginning of the chapter 13, Mark 13, with verse 1 through 4. As Jesus was going out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, behold, what wonderful stones and wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to them, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another which will not be torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew were questioning him privately. "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled?" Well, we have these same questions that the apostles had. Our question that we were talking about a moment ago is, you know, our question is, when is the end coming? When is the rapture coming? But the apostles didn't really have any teaching on the rapture yet. I mean, Jesus begins into that in the later in this chapter, and starts opening that up to them, and then also in Luke 17. But as they're walking through the square talking with Jesus, they're asking Jesus, you know, when will these stones all be torn down and when will that happen? And Jesus, as he typically would do, doesn't answer the exact question that they're asking because they don't really know what Jesus knows. So Jesus kind of answers the question that they really need to know, not so much the question as they've framed it. He kind of just speaks right to the heart of the matter. And, you know, we have the same question the apostles had, or at least we have the same one we think they had. They were asking, you know, when are these stones going to be torn down, and when will this all of this stuff happen? We're asking, you know, about the end. When is the end coming? And more particularly, when is the rapture going to happen? And I can tell you today, it's not when Trump gets reinstated. It's not when a nuclear war starts. It's not World War III or when the ice caps are melted and flood the earth. Rather, Jesus gives us signs to look for. He wants us to look for them. In fact, it's an assignment for the Christian. We should not be ignoring this issue. If we were on the Titanic and we knew that it was headed for the iceberg and it was going to crash and it was going to sink and everybody was going to die, we're going to be doing something prior to it hitting the iceberg. We're going to be looking for the lifeboats. We're going to be trying to get off and save people and whatever. It's the same thing with the coming rapture and the tribulation. We know it's going to happen. What should we be doing between now and then? There are so many people out there that don't know Jesus and are not going to go to heaven unless and until they hear the gospel and become believers in Christ. Well, what did happen? What did happen? The apostles in 70 AD, Rome came in and destroyed this temple and tore the stones down. Not one stone was left standing on another. So it was that part of it, verses 1 through 4, was fulfilled in 70 AD. But that's not the rapture. That's just the destruction of the temple. That's the end of the temple age, not the rapture. And this whole chapter 13 is really more about signs of the end of the age, the end of the last days, the beginning of the tribulation. When does that happen? I want to take a moment just to follow a rabbit trail on what the rapture is. You may not be familiar with what that is. But the rapture, in the Bible, you'd have to look up the word harpazo, because rapture's not used. Gathering's used. So it's the gathering up of the bride. And Jesus teaches on it, but Paul goes into much greater detail in 1 Thessalonians. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me know when you get there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading with verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we all believe that, right? Amen. Even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. When he uses the words fallen asleep, that means died, those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So this message about the rapture should be something that we speak to one another and comfort one another. You know, there's so many bad things happening in the world, and we know things are going to get it worse. How do we comfort one another? Well, with the promise that Jesus has given us, that he is going to return in the same way that he left. He's going to return in the clouds, gather us up in the clouds, and we go off to heaven while the tribulation happens on earth. That's what this rapture is all about. Well, let's back up to Mark 13. Turn with me back to Mark 13. And we're going to pick up our teaching from Jesus at verse 5. Mark 13, verse 5. All right, so Jesus gave us a lesson on the fig tree, and the lesson is to be looking for signs, and when we see these signs, then we know something is about ready to happen. So what should we be looking for? What are these signs of the fig tree, and when will the end come about? Some say, pay attention to Israel to know if the labor pains are increasing. And what they're saying when they say that, in fact, I've said that before, and I think that's a little off target. What we're saying is that there's going to be a war that is staged against Israel. And many believe that's the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, and others believe it's the Battle of Armageddon, and I say neither are correct. As we dig into these signs that we just read in 1 Thessalonians and the signs we're going to be reading now in verse 5 through 13, Jesus gives us the things to be looking for. Read with me to from 5 through 13. And Jesus began to say to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will mislead many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. Those things must take place. Listen now, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. So, wars, rumors of wars. We know that's happening. There's wars happening all around the world. There's rumors of wars. Just this last week, when we were pulling out of Afghanistan, the news programs were saying there's going to be another war started, and this war is going to happen, and that war is going to happen, and this nation will be against that nation. And that's exactly what we're seeing happening. And yes, that's happened in the past, and it's going to be happening in the future. But when it happens with greater intensity, when it is more widely known, when the events are closer together, we know that the fig tree is ripening. In the all of these things, verses 5 through 8, are what I would call pre-rapture signs. In verse 6, it was talking about how many will come in my name, saying, I'm he, I'm the Christ, I'm the Savior, follow me. I can give you this, I can give you that. I can give you life. And we see these are happening. People are coming, stepping up into YouTube and Facebook and where all the other social media, and getting many people to follow them. Well, this is a pre-rapture sign. Why do I say that? Why couldn't it be happening during the tribulation? Well, during the tribulation, the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, will be revealed. And he is going to be the only God. In other words, people will not be following all these other gods. They're going to be following him. Because remember, the church has been taken to heaven, and he's going to come onto the world stage and assure people and people will worship him. So there won't need to be a bunch of Christs, because the Antichrist will be that one. That's why verse 6 is a pre-rapture sign. Verse 7 says, the end is not yet. Therefore, it's a pre-rapture sign. During the tribulation, the Antichrist is speaking peace. He's trying to convince people, you know, he'll provide peace. He'll protect them. He's the peacemaker. He's the general. He will bring law and order. And, you know, we know that wars are a function of love growing cold. And that's what Jesus said. The love of most will grow cold as time winds up. There's divisions in our present world as principalities battle. In the spiritual realm, they're battling over control and power. And it filters into the physical realm, the earth that we live in. And we're kind of the target of all of these battles. Religious entities are battling. One religion like Islam is trying to take control of the world and have everybody follow Islam. And they will attack and kill people of other religions. And, you know, world history is rife with this religion against that religion. And in our day and age, these religious entities are battling. And every country, most every country, is formed and created around a majority religion. And so when these countries go against each other, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation, these are religious entities battling. We also have political battles. Around the world, there's this political battle between globalists and nationalists. And these are inspired and fueled by principalities, spiritual entities, fighting and seeking control. So no matter what your politics are, these entities are not Jesus fighting for control, but it's politics that wants to control people. Now, sure, I'm not going to get into which politics are best and, you know, which ones are right, which ones are godly. I'm just saying that these are the signs that we're going to see happening. Remember last week when we went through Revelation 6 and the first six seals? With the first one that went riding out, that was the Antichrist. And so that ties into what we just read in 1 Thessalonians and what we're reading in chapter 13, that the church will be raptured. The first seal is Antichrist going out. The second seal is to take peace away from the earth. And when that happens, when that happens, people will be trying to slay each other. Son against father, daughter against mother. And these things will happen. In fact, Jesus gets into more detail there, and starting with verse 9. But looking at, just kind of finishing up with verse 8, we read that nation will be against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. But these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. And we see all of that happening. And we're wondering, what's going on? Is the end coming? Is the end here yet? Has the end already happened? These are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Once the tribulation starts, the nations won't be against nations and kingdom against kingdoms, because the Antichrist will be the one global leader. Everybody will be following him. Everybody will be submitting to him. So nations will not be against nations. Verse 9. Mark 13, verse 9. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. Brother will be paid brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Well, I think that these verses 9 through 13 are like the very beginning of the tribulation and not pre-rapture signs. Why do I think that? Well, remember Jesus is speaking to the apostles. They're Jews who've been converted to Christians. But Jews go to the synagogue. Christians do not go to the synagogue. What's relevant about that? How's that connect to the tribulation versus pre-rapture? Well, first of all, Christians don't go to the synagogue. So Christians will not be getting flogged in the synagogues. Jews go to synagogues. Jews, those who do not believe in Jesus, will be left behind. They will be on the earth during the tribulation. And every people that are hating the Christians that left and the Jews, I mean, every country has people that hate the Jews. And the Jews are the one country that's hated by everybody. And they will be taken to the synagogues and whipped and flogged. And they'll have to stand before governors and kings. And Jesus says the gospel must be preached to all nations. Well, remember a few weeks ago, we talked about those two witnesses that come on the scene right away, and they're preaching the gospel day and night for 3.5 years. And then there's an angel that flies through the mid-heaven declaring the gospel. I mean, the gospel continues to get preached. So everybody will have had a chance to hear it. But that's not a pre-rapture sign. In other words, some people think that the rapture can't happen until the gospel is preached to every single nation in the world. And, you know, we have this debate over whether that's happened or not. There are still many places that have not heard the gospel from in human words. Romans tells us that God has revealed himself to all, so no man is without excuse. Verse 11, they arrest you, they hand you over. Don't worry about what you're to say. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. And later on it says, you will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. So we know as the tribulation goes on, when God seals the 144,000 Jews, 12,000 in each tribe, they go out and they preach the gospel to all the Jews. And as Romans 11:26 says, all Israel will be saved. So they will be hated by all. They're hated by as Jews, and they'll be hated by Christians as they become these tribulation Christians. Brother will be betraying brother to death and a father's child. Children will rise up against their parents. This happens when the mark of the beast occurs. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago also, that the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, will dictate that they have a sign of the beast, the mark of the beast on their forehead or their hand in order to buy or sell. And family members will be turning in other family members that don't have the sign, the mark of the beast, who refuse to get it. They've become Christians and they've refused to get it. They'll be turning them in because out of fear, you know, they're going to be threatened by the Antichrist and his people, that if they know of somebody, if they're harboring somebody, they're going to be killed too. So out of fear, they're going to turn their parents and relatives in. But also out of hate, there'll be this spiritual divide. Somebody that takes on the mark of the beast is worshiping the beast. They are no longer available, open, or able to receive Christ. So there's this spiritual divide between them and their relatives. So they'll turn them in because they hate them, because they don't like what the Christians stand for. Well, these are some certainly some signs that we should be looking for, and Jesus kind of lays it out for us. But I think what I would call some bellwether signs, even more clear signs that are expounded upon a little bit more clearly for us as Christians, as last days Christians. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Let me know when you get there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Beginning in verse 3. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come, in other words, the end, the rapture, will not come unless the apostasy comes first. What's the apostasy? Apostasy is people that turn away from their faith, they reject the faith, they walk out on it, they leave church, they walk out on church. These are not people that were born again. They didn't lose their salvation. They didn't give up their salvation. These are so-called believers. They would come to church and they would go through the motions. They would enjoy the fruit of fellowship, but they never committed to Jesus in their heart. And Jesus knows who has done that and who hasn't. People can fake us out. We don't know. But those are the ones that leave. And we saw in the last couple years when the government said to the churches, you cannot meet, close down, no way. You can't come to church, you can't sing, you can't pray. Those that stayed away, unless they had a serious health problem. But just in general, those that stayed away, those that are apostates, they're not coming back. There's still a lot of churches that aren't even reopened. And of those that have opened, at least a half or a third of them, the people have not come back. What are they doing? They're off doing other things. So we can see the apostasy has already happened. The apostasy is not yet complete, but certainly we see more and more signs of people rejecting the faith and walking away and believing all manner of crazy things. Okay. Back to verse 3, we're not finished. Unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes us and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as God. That's the abomination of desolation. That happens 3.5 years into it. And the man of lawlessness is slayed at the end, at the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus returns, when he returns to set his feet on the ground in Israel. But this man of lawlessness, when it says he's revealed, that means he's already in the world. But he's revealed. Excuse me for the cough. Verse 5, do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now? In other words, the man of lawlessness? So that in his time he will be revealed? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. So, what is holding back the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness being revealed? It is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is where? He's in every one of us that are born again, each of us temples. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. Where else is the Holy Spirit? He's in each of the local churches that are Bible-believing, Jesus-following churches. So imagine when the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way by virtue of all of the Christians and the churches that make up all the churches are raptured to heaven. They're no longer on earth. There's no longer any Holy Spirit restraining evil and lawlessness. And that's when he steps on the stage, claims to be God, and people begin to worship him. Lawlessness goes crazy. Lawlessness has nothing to restrain it. Lawlessness becomes the law of the land, if you will. Verse 10. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So back in 9, it said that he'll come with activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. So you probably are aware that Satan can perform miracles and signs and wonders as just as Jesus can. The problem is the Jesus miracles point to God. The Satan miracles, signs and wonders point to something other than God, to the man of lawlessness, dead spirits, whatever, demons. And if you are one of those who pursues signs and wonders, you could easily be deceived when Satan comes, when the man of lawlessness comes. Many will be deceived. Signs and wonders are said in the book of Acts to follow the preaching of the gospel, not they happen and we pursue them and seek them out. So the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, is going to come. He's going to come with signs and wonders, and it will deceive so many people because they're going to say, whoa, this guy must be God. And they'll reject the love of the truth so as not to be saved. Verse 11, for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may all be judged who did not believe the truth, but take pleasure in wickedness. This is interesting. God, it said God is going to send that deluding influence. It's not Satan sending the deluding influence. It's God. What is that? God, what are you doing? What's the meaning of that? Well, it says so that they will believe what's false. In other words, they've had all of their chances to believe the truth, and they haven't. They've rejected Jesus time and time again, and every time they do, their heart gets harder. God knows that. And so he sends this deluding sign so that they make a firm commitment to what is false. They've firmly committed or rejected truth and firmly committed to what is false. Why does God do that? Well, how often do we question God's actions and motivations by saying, well, how could a loving God condemn people to hell? He doesn't. He gives us a choice to believe what is true, reject Jesus or accept Jesus, reject evil or accept evil. So that when we're in heaven, we will know if we have family and friends that did not make it to heaven, they had every chance to believe in Jesus, and justice has occurred. True justice has occurred because they have believed what is false. And it will be clear, it will be obvious. It's not, we won't be questioning, maybe I thought he believed in Jesus. No, no, no. It's going to be so clear that they believed what's false and not what was true and not Jesus. So, let me just kind of wrap this up a little bit and review these pre-rapture signs, because we've covered a lot of territory, and I want to just boil it down to a small handful that we can easily remember. Remember that the pre-rapture signs are the things that are happening, the beginning of the birth pangs. They're not yet the end. The last days have not yet ended. The church age is not quite yet ended. It's before the rapture. These are the signs that we want to look for. Jesus said to look for the many false Christs, that you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. So we certainly are hearing those. Nations and kingdoms will be against each other, and earthquakes in various places and famines in various places. These are all pre-rapture signs, the beginning of birth pangs. They're not yet the end. Lawlessness will be increasing. The apostasy will be happening. People will be rejecting church, will be rejecting Christ. Their love will be growing cold. And the restrainer begins to step out of the way. Now, at that point, that's right about where the rapture happens. And then the revealing of the man of lawlessness. Unrestrained increasing of lawlessness. Love growing cold. God sending a strong delusion, which will clearly separate out those who reject Christ from those who believe in Christ. And yes, after the rapture into the tribulation, many will begin to believe in Christ because they will say, whoa, that rapture happened. What Jesus said was really true. What grandma said, what my mom said, what my dad said was really true. Woe is me, and they will repent, come to faith. But many won't. In fact, as time goes on, their hearts get harder and they begin to shake their fist at God because they know that the judgments are coming from God, not from Satan. And that's how come they bond to the Antichrist. They believe his lie. Well, I hope that this has helped you understand that a lot of the things that are being said today, like many want to say that the vaccine is the mark of the beast and the end has already happened or we're already in the tribulation. So I hope we've sorted this out for you. The mark of the beast will not happen until the man of lawlessness makes it happen. The beast of the earth says that you have to put his mark on or you cannot buy or sell. So whether you take the vaccine or not, I mean, that's up to you, but I'm just telling you, it's not the mark of the beast. And the end has not yet happened. We're in those birth pangs, and they're getting stronger, and they're getting closer together, but it has not yet happened. You haven't missed the rapture. The rapture has not happened. But these things are coming soon. Amen. Let's gather around and pray for one another.